As the weather cools down and we spend more evenings indoors, your home should feel like a sanctuary. Avocado helps you create a natural oasis with organic mattresses, cozy pillows, soft bedding, and thoughtfully designed furniture. Avocado products are carefully constructed with premium materials that are better for you and the planet. Certified organic mattresses, pillows, bedding, and sustainably sourced wood furniture make it easy to transform your home into a restorative retreat. Avocado uses premium materials and expert craftsmanship, so their products are designed to last. They deliver lasting comfort and better value over time. Better materials and thoughtful design lead to better, deeper sleep. And quality rest impacts every part of your life. Invest in your comfort. Every product is thoughtfully made with the planet in mind, so you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you bring into your home. Plus, they offer easy financing options with Affirm to make your purchase easy. Avocado, dream of better. It's better for you and better for the planet. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis.
Tonight's star movie on Channel 43, your favorite movie station, will continue in a moment.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You know, this is the type of thing I should discuss off-air in the pre-show meeting, but when it comes into my brain, I have to lock in on it for Rob. Rob, I've figured out what I like the most when you send me clips for the soundboard.
Yeah.
And the fact that I fell in love with Jesse Pinkman, you know, you can't get away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Raving out, screaming movie meltdowns.
Okay.
And insults. That is... That's the wheelhouse, because I always play them at the end of the show.
Right.
And they always sum up the show. And I always like to create the, you know, that delightful negativity at the end of the show.
We like to leave us sort of a vinegary taste.
That is the worst thing I have ever seen in my entire life. That type of thing. So I will be on the lookout for them, and I will alert you to the fact that they are out there. But this is the Mike O'Mara Show for Monday. And,
somehow when someone screams like that without a buildup and out of context, it's funny. Not jarring, it's funny.
It is funny. Yeah. And I saw the Jesse Pinkman used in, perhaps Kimmel may have used it. I'm not sure. Somebody used it. And, of course, there I am. It's there for everybody to see. It's a great piece of tape. But here we are. We are Rob Spiewak. We are Josh Soroka in the Outer Banks.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
Mike, we put out a TMOS Extra this weekend for the bonus show members about kind of behind the scenes. And I mentioned on that I enjoy the 60-second countdown, because no matter what we talk about on the pre-show meeting, you have to sit there for a minute quiet with your own thoughts. And it always comes with something new to surprise us when the show starts.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
I do. That could not be more true, because I am forced to be silent, and the mind is at full gear, and that's good. Probably what's keeping me young is the fact that I do this show. I think that's what it is. I am here to say, I just wanted to make one statement for everybody. All right.
Oh, this is a prepared statement?
No.
Okay.
No, that would require more than a short sentence.
I understand.
This is for my late father. This is for Central Connecticut. This is for the New York area. This is for the Boston area.
We can throw the Baltimore.
Oh, I don't even know about Baltimore. You'll have to pile on. But I'd just like to say, being a sports fan is great. In the history of sports,
yes,
I didn't think it would ever get worse than being a Red Sox fan with the 80-year World Series drought.
Yeah.
With Bucky Dent, with Bill Buckner, with moments that were snatching defeat from victory, and gut-wrenching losses. Yeah.
Is it true what they said about Billy Buck? back in the day.
Billy Button. That was Don came up with that one from Chicago. He said that when Bill Buckner was in Chicago, the comment was, Billy Buck don't give a
exactly.
Boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was after 1986.
Yeah.
Way back when. God, that's a long time ago.
Oh, Mike, it's only 40 years ago.
I watched a movie from the 90s, 93, with my kid. Oh, Rookie of the Year.
Oh, it's Josh's favorite film.
It is not. It is
it's
not.
It's a baseball film. Isn't that one we discussed?
It is Daniel Stern doing his best Rob Schneider impression.
Okay. Wow, that's the
one
ingredients.
Where the kid breaks the arm, right? He breaks his arm and he's a pitcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible. He finally lost interest. My kid lost interest, and we turned it off immediately.
Does he have a baseball movie that's his go-to movie? Does
not that I'm aware of. No,
show him Pride of the Yankees.
Sure, I'll do that, Hicks Nicks. I promise. So where was I? I forgot what I was.
It's great being a sports fan.
Exactly. Okay.
So I can relate, Mike. They say in Baltimore, well, the Orioles season's over, but at least we have the Ravens. They're always good.
Right.
So they lose 44-10 on a Sunday.
All right. I will take 44-10
and
I will raise you 14-3 and then not scoring another point against the lowly New Orleans Saints. I am here to tell you that in all of my and I have rooted for losing teams. And winning teams. My teams have both lost and won. The Capitals had a huge drought when I was in my early days of rooting for them when I moved to Washington, D.C. And I adopted the only team that I adopted in Washington, D.C. was the Washington Capitals. And I think perhaps I was doing that because of my desire to continue the legacy of losing. But
you kind of dig that, though, don't you? Rooting for the underdog? That's sort of part of you. I mean, you enjoy the win.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You're probably right. But there comes a time,
right,
New York Giants fans, when your team is so cruel to you. Your team is just so undisciplined and without a clue.
Unrewarding.
And you watch another shiny toy get dumped on by the dog, which is the franchise, in Jackson Dart, and then he catches the disease. It's a disease. Yeah. Remember in the movie The Natural where they say,
as
losing
contagious
is a disease.
As contagious as gonorrhea.
Oh, ground zero for the plague is in New York, ladies and gentlemen, because I am here to tell you, this team, it is stunning when you fumble not once, not twice, but three times. Your primary receiver fumbles the ball. Your primary running back fumbles the ball at a key moment. By the way, they're all key moments. They're all key moments. And then, you know, the brand new shiny toy, the college draft choice, the guy that's going to save your franchise.
He was a hero last week.
He is running with the ball, untouched. And it falls out of his hand. It is the most.
No one was near him?
No one was near him. carrying the ball like a loaf of bread, like pros with big hands want to do. And there it goes. And I am here to say that if I didn't have my friend by the name of Marshall Green, and I'll give him a plug on Chat Sports, who rants and raves so much better than I do.
Yeah.
And that's his meal ticket. And I even sent him a super chat yesterday at the beginning. I really did. And the game started with Hope Springs Eternal, where I'm thinking, okay, this is an easy 2-3. We can win one more and get back to 500. And then what they did it on purpose. They did it on purpose. The New York effing Giants score two touchdowns on their first two drives in the first quarter just to say F you to the fans, to say, look what we can do. We got this. This is in hand before they decide to, like, just throw it away and completely melt down.
Mike, I have to ask you this, because while I watched this going on during highlights yesterday, I thought of you, and I thought this is going to be really great if they win, but if they don't, I was, you know, I'm not a great big sports fan, but I grew up around sports fans. And my grandfather, Big Daddy, loved when someone that he knew had a great love for a team and that team messed up.
Yeah.
And his whole thing would be, he would call up and either just say, what happened? Or in this specific instance.
To the person who's going to rant?
Yeah, in this specific instance.
Just, so this is runs deep in your family.
It does.
The and desire to ramp somebody off.
This instance would be, they would lose, he would call you, and you would answer, and he would just say, hey, what happened to your buddy? Meeting Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking yesterday. It's like, he was king of the world not 8 days ago, and now he's a disaster. So, Mike, what happened to your buddy?
I am aware of the fact that we as fans? Tend to overreact.
No.
That's why we're fans. Yeah. We tend to blame everybody. But this is the appropriate course of action for ownership currently. With the entire front office. And, of course, I didn't plug it in because I am a moron.
Mike, no one was near you and you dropped the plug.
Even when I want to do something that I think is fun, like, you know, blow something up.
Yeah.
I am unable to because it's the New York Giants.
Are you blowing up the team or the building? What are you blowing up?
If I could.
Yes.
First of all, and I said this, 80 to 90% chance I will not watch another game this year that they play in. I have never said that in all the years of rooting for this team. If I had my druthers, ownership would sell the front office. I'm talking scouts, general managers, team assistants, everybody, head coach, entire coaching staff, this is what I do. All of you, goodbye, get out of here, you're done. You're done. You're not only losing, you're figuring out for 2 years now the most creative and cruel ways to lose that you possibly can. Now, I think the nature of the NFL lends itself to that anyway.
Right,
but,
right.
When Josh talks about his team getting blown out, that's equally frustrating, mm-hmm. but when you think, when your team looks so good on the first two series that you say to yourself, oh, wow, the corner has been turned, and then just do-pity-pity with fat-ass Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, standing over there with his stupid hat. God almighty, I'm so pissed.
Did it take away from some of the Red Sox sorrow? To now just put
even out?
I'll tell you why. The Red Sox put it together with duct tape and twine. The Red Sox had... What?
Do I need to walk the dogs?
Yes. Sorry. Mrs. O'Meara asked me if she needed to walk
the dogs. The appropriate answer to that, Mike, is yes, always.
Oh, yeah. Right. That would go over really, really well. Here it is. Here it is. I am telling you that the Red Sox overachieved. They got where they got with major injuries and were able to get in. And the fact that they got beaten by the Yankees is fine with me. And I never say that. But the fact is, it was not unexpected. Was there a chance when they called it? Yeah. Well, was there a chance when they won the first game of the wild card series? By the way, the team that really belongs in the American League Championship Series is the Toronto Blue Jays, as they're demonstrating
it.
Handily against the Reds. And for those of you that don't like sports, lick it. Chris Arnold says hi, Carla. Yeah. By the way, I didn't get a reaction just then when I said I didn't walk the dogs, because in our family, the one bone of contention, there's not one person this roof. There is not one person who likes that task. All right. Which is, to me, like give them to a family where people relish taking care of their dogs.
Do they walk well together?
No.
Yeah, because I can't walk Linus and Sebastian together.
I have a double leash. I have a really beautiful double leash that's kind of a...
For the dogs or for the bedroom?
For a synthetic leash that has a great lanyard on it. It's really a good... But they... Winslow in particular...
It?
They braid it.
Yep.
That's how it works. And Winslow,
shorter and shorter.
No, and Winslow, who just insists on walking in back of me every time to take me down.
Bad training there. Yeah.
So, look, for those of you that have rooted for teams that continuously suck, I know you can all relate to this. It's the way it goes. And yesterday, when they do that, when you can bail out early on your team, that's always a good feeling because you can just say, okay, on to other more fun things.
I don't even remember this. Are you an early departer when you are at the stadium?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Okay, just checking. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, football is different than baseball, as Josh knows. Josh will tell you that baseball, you can have literally an 8-0 deficit in the seventh inning, and your team can possibly come
back. Of course, yeah.
Especially in places like Fenway, goofy little ballparks like Fenway. But so I moved on, and then later in the afternoon, I was able to clean the palate. And how do you clean the palate? With a serial killer. That's how you clean the palate with a monster. The Ed last name pronounced differently by everyone in the show. Ed Gein, Gein, Gein,
you know,
Gein.
It's funny.
Right?
I watched,
are they not doing that in that show? I think they are.
I grew up saying Ed Gein because it was sort of a topic of discussion because he's a great punchline. But they seem to say Gein or Gein.
Gein. I believe it's Gein.
And that's what I'm going with because that's what most of the people say. But it's not clear. It's not.
Netflix had, as Carla informed me, for almost 2 years, touted the miniseries Monster, the Ed Gein story, about the serial killer that allegedly brought us the movie Psycho and brought us Silence of the Lambs. And
it's the third series of Monster, Mike. Remember the brothers, the Menendez boys. That was the last series of Monster.
Right, and then before that, who was it? It was the big tall guy, right?
No. It was the, oh, God, white. I had his name this morning. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Okay. All right.
And that one was great.
Okay,
The Dahmer one was great.
I get them confused.
So many monsters.
When you say brought us these movies, you meant these movies were inspired from his murders?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He didn't create the movies.
Yeah, and the reason that the Menendez brothers was really solid was because it was a story about the Menendez brothers. And the reason that the Jeffrey Dahmer series was phenomenal is because it's Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, and it was about Jeffrey Dahmer. With Ed Gein, I believe that the producers, the scriptwriters, the director decided that the story of a man that liked to rob graves and kill people and play with their bodies was not worthy of an entire miniseries. So we're going to throw in three more plot lines
It drove me crazy.
BS.
It really did. And the way they switch among, and I think they had to do it because the age of the Ed Gein story is so old, they don't have as many perspectives or touchstones to pull
on. I thought it's a cop-out. I think that, and by the way, the performance of Charlie Hunnam, a British actor, hard to believe that when you see his performance, is so solid that keeps me watching it. It's that good. The scary moments are that good. What I don't need, there has been way, way, way too much obsession on Alfred effing Hitchcock in the last 10 years and movies about Hitchcock and movies as a tribute to Hitchcock, Hitchcock documentaries, Hitchcock. I am so tired of seeing actors in fat suits trying to portray Alfred Hitchcock, and it's a waste of time.
If you want to appreciate Alfred Hitchcock, watch one of Hitchcock's movies. He's not a character. He's not a real-life person that you want to know. He's a great director.
Best advice you could ever give anybody, Rob. If you care about Alfred, watch his movies, which are spectacular.
Go stream Rear Window. You'll love it. It's
Rear
fantastic.
Window, Vertigo, The Birds.
Psycho, of course.
So they shoehorn in this plot line about the making of Psycho and Tony Perkins and his closeted gayness.
Yeah.
Don't forget
Nazi Germany.
And then Nazi Germany.
Which I totally didn't get.
And then a storyline about a romantic relationship that didn't really exist.
Right.
So, I mean, you got a guy that is a monster.
Literally.
Why can't we deal with what really happened to him, or at least how they caught him? No, we're not going to do that.
Do they not know enough about him?
The only indication, and I haven't watched all the episodes, is when the police come to his door, and he's got a very interesting voice, which Carla now has accused me of sounding like, because I do those voices. Where I'm like, there we go.
That's also, voice. Mike, for what it's worth.
Is that BS too?
Yeah, he had a low, mumbly voice, and he was short and fat. He didn't look like John Cena.
I don't know if he was short and fat. I saw a picture of him. Really?
Yeah. He was a dumpy looking guy. That's one of the biggest things Hitchcock changed in Psycho, is to make him sort of an attractive, sympathetic character by putting Tony Perkins in the role. He was not a good looking guy at all. Scary.
It's weird. It's weird. I think that obviously early on, the writers of this miniseries said it's not interesting enough.
You're right.
Which is just so
weird. But they
weird.
Do, Mike, they do tease you with interesting things. Like, have you ever had a nipple chair?
That is so. And is that document? Carla was doing a lot of the fact-finding on the real guy.
I think that's a little bit real.
Do we have a picture of the real Ed Gein?
It's hard to find the real guy all mixed in with the movie promotion right now.
Yeah, because they're promoting the hell out of it. I tell you, America loves a good serial killer. There's no doubt about it.
Two and a half, almost three episodes in, and I think, he's sort of short and dumpy.
He's the guy there on the right.
Yeah. Okay, so he doesn't appear to be tall. I wouldn't call him dumpy, but he's definitely...
Maybe it's the cut of his pants.
But they all knew in the town he was weird.
Yeah, oddball. With that.
But it's just, it's all over. But I still can't take myself away from it. I can't tear myself away from it, because you just think around the corner something's going to happen, and it does get pretty grisly, and the scary is scary. The scary is absolutely scary, and the casting of the other characters is very solid. The casting is great.
Roseanne's sister as the mom.
Yeah, she's wonderful in it. But I don't understand. It's like when they're making these programs, they get bored with their own story, and they said we have to make it. It's an insecure writing task to
Over-spicing a meal.
I mean, haven't we had enough drama about the making of Psycho?
Yeah.
Haven't we? Really?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's crazy.
There's been a whole document. Now, Mike, speaking of which, when you talk about casting, I went with your recommendation, and I finished the show Wayward over the weekend.
That's another horror thing, right?
And, Toni Collette. And we
Toni
talked
Collette,
about Toni Collette.
Actress.
And, I gave her, we were joking around, but she's excellent in it. And also, the lead officer in the relationship, the one that is investigating, does the best job of looking surprised and horrified of any performer I've ever seen.
How many Spiewaks do you give it?
This is the problem, because I love the horror thread and the whole thing about the boarding school, but when it turns into a teen drama with the other kids in it, and it's like all of a sudden it goes from, taking the leap, and then in the next minute you're trying to accept it's the summer I turned pretty.
Yeah.
No, it's weakened. It weakens the whole process.
Another one where it's just not thick enough for the writers.
They have a good story there that they should have stuck with, and I thought... a nearly satisfying ending, not quite, but nearly, and it wasn't quite there. It didn't complete.
Was it a lot of filler, like to drag it out? Like, this could have been two episodes, but we need to make 10.
Yeah, I think so. Especially if you got rid of the bad teenager subplot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I will tell you, the other show that I'm watching right now is Josh Soroka, Return to the Outer Banks.
It's that bad.
Not your connectivity. I'm just talking about the fact that you're up there with the fam again, up in the Outer Banks. Yeah. And it looks to me like perhaps you are broadcasting from the kitchen today. Is that true?
The basement. So this is like the little
you're in the basement.
Outside the pool. Yes.
I love the fact that there's so much green in his shot. Mm-hmm. There's green walls and a green shirt.
Yeah. Is that like a floaty over your left shoulder, like a boogie board or something like that? Yeah,
it is. No, it's a pair of cornhole boards.
Oh, okay.
See the hole?
There it is. There it is.
Yes, Mike. Do you see the hole?
Because now, it's Jesse Kelly and I visiting my parents this week.
Oh, okay.
For a few days, which meant I didn't have to hold up like in a closet somewhere hiding to be quiet. So,
yeah, smart move getting away from the 12-year-old. You know, which is
sometimes
had a weekend with that too. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sometimes
I'm not supposed to talk about that, but anyway, he's a wonderful boy, but he's every inch 12 years old. And any of you out there that have raised a 12-year-old and gone through that, you probably understand. The body is changing, the attitudes are changing, the mind is changing. He's a great kid. I love him to death. I absolutely love him.
Any filter on the stuff he talks about? I remember Robert being rather unfiltered at age 12.
There are lots of things. It's multifold. The layers of the issues are multifold. But the filter wasn't there yesterday.
I think at 12 is when Robert said that things would be better if I wasn't so fat.
I think that dad's being an a-hole was mentioned yesterday.
I feel like 12 is where everything and your authority as a parent gets questioned.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's you don't know best because I'm 12.
Yeah, it kind of happens. That's what it is. But you know what? You power through it. But boy, I tell you, if there was an Outer Banks that I could go to, I would run. I would run like the wind.
Every now and then, split custody is okay.
Now. Yeah. You know that Carl and I were planning a getaway that got canceled, that we canceled, going to the DR with the weather out there. And that
again,
was going to be our
say,
getaway.
Mike, that's the Dominican Republic, because often when you say that, people think you mean the doctor.
Yeah. Plan
the trip
DR.
To go to the doctor.
Yes,
the Dominican.
The doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is what it is.
You know, you didn't have to tell the mother-in-law it was canceled.
This
you
is true.
Could have still dropped Michael off.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is true. But, you know, I kind of feel like that's karma in a way, that then when we would really need a break, we're desperate to get out of
Dodge. Is the solution maybe just to send your son to the Dominican Republic?
The solution is to accept your reality, Rob Spiewak, where you are as content as an individual can be in of doors at your own home. You do not require, outside of an occasional trip to an amusement park, you don't require a lot. And I don't think, I have required a lot this year either, other than, getting out and playing my favorite sport. That's
but the
it.
Magic that I have experienced is the fact that they're gone pretty much. I mean, Robert's back.
Right.
It's not like a total emptiness, but he's totally self-sufficient. When he comes home with his own groceries, there's no better feeling.
Yeah,
because he's functioning and doing
a good
job. He's
30 now, too, so that's quite an accomplishment.
No, but you know what's great is at the end of
really raising the bar for him right there. He went to the store and bought groceries.
Well, Mike, think about how thrilled you would be if your son did that.
Well, he's 12.
Yeah, but I'm saying that it wasn't long ago. It wasn't that long ago that Robert was 12. And you would think that there might be
How old is Robert now?
He's 22, 23.
So over a decade.
But the beauty of it is, Mike, is that you would think that if he comes back home after graduating college, he would fall into old habits.
Right.
He's not. He's still self-functioning. He gets hired at his job at the end of this month.
Right.
And it's just a thrilling time for him.
Is there any part of you that has disgust or is thinking about the possibility of him leaving the domicile?
The main thing that will be great when he goes, I will miss him terribly, but we had to run for him to do his office work in his room upstairs. We had to run a Wi-Fi extender, which leaves an unsightly wire going up the steps. I'll be glad to see that wire go. I don't like looking at it.
Is Robert now the new man of the house?
Yeah, he always has been. Yeah, he always has been.
How so?
Things.
Yeah, he's the man. He decides things. He's the patriarch. I asked him permission for things. Had to borrow his car yesterday. I had to ask him to borrow his car. So, yeah, he's going to be fine. He's going to get out. I imagine he will be out of the house inside of a year. That's my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, he's welcome here for as long as he wants to be here.
When's the last time he needed your help with something?
Yesterday we had to move a sofa. Does that count?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I think that would be. I think that, as far as, is there a timetable for him? Or
absolutely not. No, he's welcome here as long as he
wants. I don't remember it clearly enough, but I know that there was a statement made by my mom, and I'm sure it was my mom because it wasn't my dad, who said, and then afterwards, once you get through college, that's it. You're on your own. We'll help you any way you want, but that's it. I mean, it was not done in, I remember, a cruel way, but it was done in kind of a matter of fact way.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know if that's the era, if that's when I grew up, because now
Kathy was welcome to live at home always, right?
Kathy got a job in the school system. She was a special ed teacher, mm-hmm. and she got a job and lived at home. When she got a job in Hartford for a time, a very difficult teaching gig in the inner city that she had.
I didn't realize that she and Carrie shared that special ed teacher.
Yeah, she was a teacher early on in her career, and then I think moved down to Washington D.C. where she met my brother-in-law. But it was kind of indicating maybe you're right. You know, she got to move back in.
Yeah.
It was made clear to me. I was at American University and lived in the house that I was renting off campus after I graduated, and that was it. And I never looked back, never moved back in with my parents. A lot more kids do it today, I think, than in my era.
Well,
I'm pretty sure.
I think it's almost a financial requirement for most people. You can't just graduate into a job and make enough money to have a place. Not often.
Yeah. I suppose. What do you think, Josh?
Especially in this area, I think.
No, I think if you have a good relationship with your parents, why not? Save money and work on that relationship with your parents and let them see you as an adult.
I have a great relationship with my parents now. I really do.
Trifle one-sided, but...
Yes, that's silly. That's silly, Bob.
Mom, I'm home. I'm home.
No, Chris Arnold. It was not Mike and Bill O'Reilly at AU. It was Mike and Bill O'Reilly at Marist. But
Marist
I wasn't.
College.
Bill
Come
O'Reilly
on,
is... how old is Bill O'Reilly right now?
Probably 75.
I think he's 75. I think
Mike,
he's about 10 years older than
was I. Was it uncomfortable when Bill O'Reilly moved into your parents' house?
Bill O'Reilly, 76.
I was close. I was
He's exactly 10 years older than me. And if Bill O'Reilly, I saw him recently, I think, maybe with Jon Stewart. I think, but I'm not sure. But Bill O'Reilly has aged in that 10-year period rather significantly. I urge you to when's the last time you got a look at Bill O'Reilly? Rob,
God, probably when we had him on the show 7 or 8 years ago.
7 or 8 years ago,
yeah.
He's changed. He's gotten older, much older. There's certain guys that age well, and certain guys that don't age
if
well.
If I were to ask Bill O'Reilly why he didn't age well, would he have an answer?
Yeah, it's the stress of, or as he says now, it's just stress. His voice has gotten higher.
Oh, it's gotten high, like Ed Gein.
Yeah. I'm seeing if Josh can pull up a recent clip of Bill O'Reilly because
I don't have clip. I do have a still image.
Okay.
Let's take a look at Bill O'Reilly. All right. Let's take a look at a recent photo. That might be good. It might not be good. I'm not sure.
And after that, Josh.
Josh is battling his Outer Banks internet today, so it's not going to be as fast.
No, that's an older picture.
That's his IMDb photo. Currently.
That's beautiful. That was some beautiful, like almost like Wayne Newton hair.
Yeah, beautiful.
But here he is.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know what? He's lost a lot of lower face weight, but his head is still. I am Oz.
Yeah. Just thought I'd share that. That's good. We don't need any more than that because, look, we're all going there, right? We're all going there. I realize it more than you two because I am going there sooner. I get it. I understand how it works. And I think that at a certain point, when I get to a point where I am losing completely the DJ baritone, I'm saying thank you. Thank you very much.
If you want to know, Mike, when to get out, Paul McCartney just started the most recent leg of his tour, his ongoing, never-ending last tour.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's almost 80 now.
He's not 80 yet?
No, I think he's 80. He might be 80. But just look, Mike, look at his most recent concert.
He is 83 years old.
83.
How do you not? What is wrong with you? with your obsession with Paul McCartney, and you don't know how old he is?
Mike, I could have done the math. He was born in World War II.
How about just knowing that he's 83? You go to every concert he's ever put on in Washington, D.C., you know?
But he always 83. Thinks of him as that 30-year-old.
I don't know. I think of him as 20. I want to see him as a Beatle. But there are if you listen to his voice, Mike, is all I'm saying is don't let your voice get all Paul on you.
All right.
Because he can't do it anymore.
There are two types of elderly person down here.
Okay.
As far as voices are concerned. And they're both extremes. You get the... We were
over there, the thing, and we're going.
You know what I mean?
The Winnie the Pooh factor.
And then you get the guys, and this is not fake. It's not affected at all. Mm-hmm. Then you will hear the person, I made a reservation about 3 minutes ago. I can handle the second one. I can do that. I can be like that if I wanted to. So I'm hoping I'm that guy. I don't want to be the...
I think you're going to be okay.
You think so?
Yeah, because you've always protected the instrument.
Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate
that. What was that? Like a scene change?
That was I'm cueing you now when I want music. I don't have to put my hands up anymore when I say thank you, Rob, because we've got a fat news today, and that means it's time to move on. But first, I want to tell you about our good friends at Legacy Box, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, do you have any delightful memories? Do they want to relive those good old days? Is that what you want to do? But are they trapped on VHS tapes or film reels and you just aren't sure where to start? Most of Rob's memories are saved in the Ark of the Covenant.
That's where I put them.
Which is stupid. Luckily, we have the perfect solution, Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. Plus, when you go to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. Co-founders Nick and Adam started Legacy Box in their college dorm room over a decade ago. Since then, it's grown from a team of two to the largest and most trusted digitizing company in the world. I love to say world like the British.
I love it.
The world. It's the world. It's the finest in the world.
Or you could say it like Norm MacDonald, too. In the world.
In the world. Right now, when you purchase a Legacy Box, you get 90 days free, Jerry. Access to Legacy Box Cloud. That's the easiest way to stream, share, and download your memories. It's like Netflix, but for your home movies. You can stream your vids or pics anywhere, download, organize, save them, and store them securely. The Legacy Box Cloud brings you peace of mind, and now you can't even lose your photos if you tried. You clumsy oaf. Live in the now. Legacy Box.
Now.
Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 50. Moron. Sorry about that. For a limited time, go to legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. And remember, wash your hands before eating, ladies and gentlemen.
Now we've come. This is what we call Mike's Tidbits. Where certain items of the news day are shared with you so you can either, you know, put them in your mental toolbox or share them with other people around the water cooler.
I got everything in the news today.
I love it. I got a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. We're going to start today with social media because everybody, you know, especially nowadays, everybody's on it. Everybody's talking about it. But are they there as much as they used to be? A report in the Financial Times asks this question. If we've passed peak social media, a digital audience insights company looked into data from more than 250,000 adults from 50 countries and found that time spent on social media peaked in 2022 and has since gone into steady decline. Across the world, adults 16 and older are spending an average of 2 hours and 20 minutes per day on social platforms. That's down by 10% since 2022. The sharpest decline is among teens and 20-somethings, although many millennials and some Gen Xers seem to be deleting their accounts too. Tech experts say users have basically been pushed out by reducing the actual socialness and connectedness and replacing it with ads. That's true.
I agree. And also, if you think, during the days of the novel coronavirus 19, we were really relying on it. So it might have really peaked during those, you know, 2021.
Right.
Because we needed it to literally communicate with people. Now we're back to being face-to-face. But ads is huge. You're right. Absolutely.
I think it also depends on their definition of social media. Because if you want to stick it to Facebook, Twitter, okay. But really, TikTok and everything, is this, it's all social media now. All the internet.
TikTok's exploded. And I think it's so. Tech experts say users have basically been pushed out by reducing the actual socialness and connectedness. I mentioned that before, but there's one place in the world where social media isn't in free fall. The good old United States, North America.
There you go.
Where the report says consumption of social media's diet of extreme rhetoric, engagement, bait, and slop continues to climb. Even still, America may be at the peak right now because social media may finally be jumping the shark. Meta and OpenAI have announced a new social platform that will be filled with AI-generated short-form videos. And if anything can kill social media, it's nonstop AI. So we'll have to wait and see where it goes, people. But we're the ones that are still hanging on to it.
A question, Josh, since you're more tech-minded than either Mike or I. If you were to delete your Facebook account or pause it or take it off, do you lose all the pictures and all the content, or does it just go into like a sleep mode?
If you just delete the app, you lose nothing. If you go in and delete your account, I imagine you lose everything.
Because I was thinking about that.
You can go in there. You can go in there and download all your data and then delete your account.
Okay, because there's thousands of pictures, you know, that if you got rid of it, you might not have access to anymore. That's sad.
All right. Let's move on to this. Warning. Keep the kiddies away from whatever device you're listening to right now.
Okay.
If you, this is some adult content here. And I'll be honest with you, I threw up a little in my mouth when I read this story. There's a song on Taylor Swift's Life of a Showgirl album called Would. And apparently it is a straight-up ode to Travis Kelce's...
It's how many euphemisms can she get in a song?
If you don't believe me, check out these lyrics. Here we go. Quote, "Forgive me, it sounds cocky. He amazed me and opened my eyes. Redwood tree, it ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my thighs."
Opened my thighs. Mm-hmm. That's like the old, God, what was the song by Sheena Easton? Sugar Walls. That was so over the top graphic that it never got back. You can't say that, Taylor.
It goes on. Quote, "Girls, I don't need to catch the bouquet to know a hard rock is on the way. And baby, I'll admit I've been a little superstitious. The curse on me was broken by your magic wand."
Gross.
More?
Yeah.
Quote, "Seems to be that you and me, we make our own luck. New heights of manhood. I ain't got a knock on wood." So, there it is. Pretty out. But wait, there's more. Taylor's fans have become experts at digging for hidden messages, and they think they've found one that reveals just how much equipment Travis is working with. So, because it's all references to like size.
Well,
and like that.
Her album, every song on it kind of samples and hints at another pop song, which is interesting, but I find annoying because any other artist besides Taylor would get sued for using this.
Yeah.
And
I suppose
she gets
you're
praised
right.
for referencing other music.
She does. And referencing her big strapping football player.
Yeah, I was moving past that part.
Isn't this the first song to reference an NFL great's junk since they wrote that song about Tom Landry?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and his hat.
And sad.
Remember,
yes,
her audience is 13 to 18 year old girls.
Yeah, a little inappropriate.
Yeah, come on, Taylor, get your head out of
here. I don't want to be prudish, but come on. Hey, Rite Aid, sad, right?
What?
No more. Rite Aid, bye. Rite
Aid,
no more. They announced their remaining 89 stores closed last week. So they're officially out of business. What's Manassas going to do?
Well, that opens up a space for another drugstore. Now, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
it was Rite Aid, nay Fantals, nay Drug Fair. I think it's an
Peoples.
But I don't think Peoples was in this chain. I think Drug Fair became Fantals, which became Rite Aid. I think.
Well, they're officially out of business. They've been on the ropes for a while. They went bankrupt in 2023, but still had $2.5 billion worth of debt. So they had to go bankrupt again this past spring. If you go to RiteAid.com now, there's just a button to request prescription and vaccine records. There's a line at the bottom that says, "All Rite Aid stores have now closed. We thank our loyal customers for their many years of support." Rite Aid was founded in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hey, office.
There you go.
In 1962, at one point, there were about 5,000 of them across the U.S. Even earlier this year, they still had 1,200 of them operating in 15 different states. They've been fighting more than 1,000 lawsuits linked to the opioid crisis for filling illegal painkiller prescriptions.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I went to Rite Aid yesterday and they had a closeout sale on OxyContin.
Didn't all the drugstores have to deal with that, though?
I think so, yeah.
I would imagine. Mm-hmm. They'd also been losing ground to bigger chains, CVS, Walgreens, and a lot of people just get their prescriptions through the mail now, so it was getting harder to compete. I go to Publix.
Attaboy.
RIP Rite Aid, age 63.
I think that if you could find a Rite Aid, it would be a great time to buy like crutches or a blood pressure cuff or all the things that are going to be
dumpster.
On. Yeah, please do.
Yum, yum. Diddy, this broke right after we stopped recording last week. Didn't get the 11 years prosecutors were angling for, but the judge on Friday sentenced him to four. Well, technically 50 months. He was also ordered to pay $500,000 in a fine and undergo a five-year supervised release. Before his sentencing, Diddy actually broke down in tears as he apologized to his mother. He also apologized to the women he abused. Some of his seven kids also spoke on his behalf, and Diddy told the judge, quote, "They need me, they're scared, and I'm scared. I will never put my hands on another person again. I have learned my lesson." Obviously, his attorneys plan to appeal the conviction. Do you think, fair, not fair? What do you think?
He's got it. You know what? But with the appeals process, he'll be out before it's done if it's only 50 months. But I think it's very classy that he apologized to his mother, the widow Diddy.
Widow Diddy.
Widow Diddy.
Oh, no. What happened? Oh, there's a widow Diddy on my pillow. Brush it off. Brush off the widow Diddy.
Witty Diddy.
I don't know, for people that are in the similar situation, whether or not they get, they threw the book. They wanted what, 11 years?
That was the ultimate, yeah.
Prosecution wanted time served. It was somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of found not guilty for most of those things.
For most of the charges, but for the ones that he was convicted on, that's a pretty heavy-duty sentence. But I don't know. You hear about it. We've been reading about it. It really does sound like crazy stuff.
Just hope he keeps making music.
Thank you, Rob. I know you're a big fan.
I am.
Yes. I always think that Rob Spiewak looks like John Candy. I always do.
What? I'll take that. You've even before we worked together, you said I looked like John Candy.
He's beloved. I always think of you when I watch Uncle Buck. That horrible movie we watched, Rookie of the Year, that was the kids' movie, featured him, one of his last performances. I think movie was 93. He died in 1994.
Sure, he looked good in it.
Spaceballs, that's another one. His son Christopher shared some of John's lost roles in a recent interview. Here's the quote. "He got sent the script of Pulp Fiction." Isn't that hard to believe?
Wow.
John Candy got Pulp Fiction.
What would he play?
I have no idea. I mean, I really don't know. Maybe Marsalis?
I was thinking that would be, but that's only based on weight.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
He couldn't play Mr. Wolf, could he?
Or these are lies.
That
he's
could
not
be
here
true.
To tell the truth.
He's gone. The one that his driver told Chris about was that he was up to be in Goodfellas. Hard to believe, isn't it? It really
is.
And he screen tested for Goodfellas, too.
What role would you put him there?
I can't imagine what you would put him in Goodfellas. I mean, you have to have kind of that Italian-American vibe, right?
Yeah, but I think he could do it. So many great comics have the ability to do drama. And, I think there's also a certain sadness to John Candy. But maybe that's only in retrospect. I don't know.
Christopher said there's footage of him looking like a tough kind of gangster guy. Those were shockers for me when I was going through it, going like, whoa, that would have been a completely different John Candy. Christopher was 9 years old when John passed away in 1994. The documentary John Candy, I Like Me, premieres Friday on Prime Video. I will be watching that.
Me too. I don't think it's going to be a particularly easy watch. I think it's going to be pretty tragic. And I think you left out, I think my favorite John Candy role is in Splash when he plays the brother. And he's so great in it, naturally funny in that. And it doesn't seem, but like, I mean, even in like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, he seems to push it a little bit for funny. But in Splash, he's just John Candy, I think, and I love it.
Really, you know, really a tragic situation that he wasn't around longer. So many great, great comic actors have gone before him.
And beloved, too.
And beloved. Finally, today, a new study just came out that says waiting is actually good for you. So try to remember that the next time you're losing your mind at the DMV. Here are the reasons why. Number one, being okay with waiting improves your self-control. Waiting is an exercise in patience. So being able to regulate your emotions and not get annoyed will only help you in the long run. Number two, waiting before you respond to an email or make a purchase can be a lifesaver. People tend to react impulsively. This intentional pause before you make a big decision could be a difference maker. Number three, waiting can also be fun if you savor it. How many times has the excitement and countdown for your trip been better than the trip itself? If you turn waiting into a game, it can be fun. So instead of seeing waiting as an inconvenience, try to reframe it in your mind. Think of it as an opportunity to reflect or give your brain the gift of zoning out, free from judgment. All the details of this study can be found in We're Full of Shit magazine.
Do you still take that?
Yeah. That's why we stream at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, to make you enjoy waiting.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God, what's wrong with people? We got more show coming up for you, ladies and gentlemen. But first, I want to tell you about Relief Band. I hate nausea, but I love Relief Band.
Yes.
It's the original anti-nausea wristband, clinically proven, drug-free, and doctor-recommended. It stops nausea from motion sickness, migraines, anxiety, hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, and more. Just strap it on, adjust the intensity, and feel relief kick in. I don't know how it works because I'm not a scientist, but I know it does. I've taken my kid out on fishing trips, and I use it. It's fast, zero side effects. The new Premier Plus Relief Band model goes even further with smart skin sensing technology, a built-in digital clock, and next-level nausea control. It sounds too good to be true, but trust me, it works. There it is right there. I have it. I use it. I love it. Relief Band isn't magic. It's science, hospital-developed, doctor-backed, life-changing, makes Disneyland fun again.
It really does.
So if you want to cure your nausea problem fast, join the hundreds of thousands of people who are nausea-free with Relief Band right now. There's an exclusive offer just for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, ladies and gentlemen. Josh is in the Outer Banks right now with the family, and he looks like it. Are you enjoying your visit?
No, it's good. It's good. It's just me, Kelly, my mom, and my dad. So you know, it's not a whole lot of family time.
You find that when you are in this particular environment, and this is an honest question, and it requires an honest answer.
But that's the honest answer music right there.
Yes, sirree. I'm at your door. I'm Ed Gein.
No. Sorry. I'm at your door. I'm Death. Well, who is it?
It's one of many, many things that I get.
Is it a text from Carla asking if she needs to walk the dogs?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Do you find that when you are in the Outer Banks home, that because of the people that are in the home, that you, you're not an exuberantly loud person, but do you find it... do you find that you're not necessarily as expressive, outwardly expressive, as you can be when you're in your regular studio at home in St. Augustine, Florida?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I might I think I hold back a little bit because I know the internet's not the best here.
Okay. All right.
I see the little thing go up there, so I don't want my poor connection to affect the
show. Okay. All right. I believe you. One thing about Josh, I believe what he says. I really do. I have not had an instance, and I think that he thinks that if he does lie, a lightning bolt will
religious of us all.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's just the religious aspect. I think it's the way he lives his life. Mm-hmm. I really do. That's what I believe. Yes, Rob, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought of you, Josh, this weekend because I was tweaking my television antenna, and on a sub-channel, I think of Channel 7 here, it said PBTV, and I said, could it pop? That couldn't be Playboy TV like back in the old days, could it?
Yeah.
Because that was all, and I said, why would that be a sub-channel antenna?
That wouldn't be over antenna, though.
I know.
All
and
the
so
neighborhood
I,
boys.
I eagerly clicked on it and found out, Mike, it's Pickleball TV, and it is a sub-channel devoted entirely to pickleball.
Huge down here, and I
thought of your family, Josh, and all the other white people that love the sport. And I know
my
your
dad
father
I'll go
competes
play tomorrow with him.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. So, have you taken to it? Have you actually taken to the sport up there and down in St. Augustine? Do you love it?
I love it. I have no one to play with, but I love it. So,
if you had to make a choice between pickleball for the rest of your life and softball, which would you pick?
A softball. I love baseball too much.
Yeah, there you go. That's
Mike,
a good
if
thing.
You had to pick between pickleball and video poker, what would you pick for the rest of your life?
I would pick household projects.
Well, you excel at them.
Over the weekend, down here, we have, and I'm sure around the country, this is not exclusive to Florida, but we have a lot of what are called lanais. That some people call it a deck, some people call it a patio. It's your outdoor living space.
Well, I think a deck indicates a wooden floor.
Probably, yes.
But a lanai and a patio, I think, are pretty similar.
Can be either concrete or, in many cases, like mine, pavers.
Has one that's sterling silver, doesn't he?
They have pavers that are little bitties and pavers that are larger. And the problems with pavers are multifold. I noticed this years ago when I had an elderly neighbor who this is back when I lived in Cocoonville.
Okay.
And the elderly neighbor went back home for season. You know, she's a snowbird.
Sure.
She went back home when it was summertime, and she didn't return. And,
Found a new hobby up north, or?
Just didn't return. She stayed, and then I think eventually, unfortunately, she passed up there. But what I noticed, because her kids didn't frequently come down either, was that on her lanai, the pavers, in very short order, became inundated with little bitty weeds that cropped up in between them. And I think, what is that for?
That's for her not returning.
What is that for? She, and it was really noticeable. And then I had a concrete patio that didn't have the little seams. Well, when I moved over here, I put a pool in the backyard, and I got pavers. And of all the things they've done in my lanai, the pavers would be the most problematic because I know a lot of people say, well, if you do this, well, if you do, I do it my way. F you and your families, too. I'm just
and
doing.
And also, the thing they're saying is stuff that had to be done at installation. It's not something you can do after the fact.
If it had been done a different way, Rob, if it had been done a different way.
You're looking old, Bill.
Thanks, Rob. I would have probably done it differently, but I don't. Now I have an ongoing battle with the weeds that poke their little heads up between the pavers. And I'm going to tell you that all the poison that you can buy that says lasts up to a year.
I don't think any of it works.
It doesn't work. It does not work.
Now, in retrospect, although the pavers are much more aesthetically pleasing, do you wish you had just gone with a solid slab of concrete?
I don't know. We
had a patio put in with concrete, and I love it. It's fantastic.
But concrete has its own issues.
As cracking.
Things settle, it'll crack, especially in Florida, it cracks.
And it can really look like crap if it does that. So I have, with this ongoing battle.
Do you still have your flamethrower?
Yesterday, I started at approximately 8:30 in the morning. My day was finished at about 12:45. I worked in the heat all morning, and I did everything. And I am talking about I did the full murder the weed process, which involved my giant blowtorch that I attached to a propane tank, and I burned the weeds. Now, you have to be careful.
I was going
to
say, doesn't it leave burn marks on the pavers?
No, it does not. Not if you do it properly. Okay. I've always been successful. I've heard horror stories about it too, leaving burn marks, and in some cases, heating the concrete to an intensity that will make it explode. That
and
hasn't
didn't you
happened
also,
to me.
You hit the corner of your house once, didn't you? Didn't you
no,
melt some siding?
No, I hit the screen,
or?
And I screen. Melted. I have three holes.
Look at you.
Gaping holes. Yeah, we all do. Mike, I have three holes. I have three holes in the screen where I got too close, and I just thought it was smoke coming out on the other side. No, it was actually melting the screen, and I have yet to patch them.
No hurry.
I'll get to that. Well, it's one of those things that you just talk. So the process yesterday
is this was a backpack propane tank, or are you dragging like a cord around?
I drag a cord around and I haul it. I haul it from point to point.
He was,
and it's
thinking,
got a long,
of, he was yeah. thinking of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I carry it around like a Ghostbuster.
Well, I'm thinking more like I remember having a corded lawnmower as a kid. I'd have to cut it. And you always end up running over the cord.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you end up with that.
Are you saying if
cords.
I ever burn? Well, I think if I burn the cord, I might explode. That might
That's what I'm
happen.
About.
Look, yeah. There is always a slight fear factor when it comes to using this particular device. It is amazingly powerful. It is amazingly hot. It's got a dial on the top of the wand where you could make this thing so strong that it could melt things.
Did you buy it online or did you buy it at a box store?
I bought it online.
Yeah, okay. So
I bought it online.
Maybe regulations were a little relaxed.
I don't know. I bought it. This is long before I even had knowledge of our Asian friends shipping cheap products to us. Mm-hmm. I use this thing and I'm wary. I'm very careful around a little plastic drain area that we have. You know, these decks have little strips of corrugated plastic for drainage that's there. Very careful around those. And I now am. After the fact, unfortunately, very careful around the screen. So I do every inch. The dogs are inside, safely ensconced inside. And when I started this, my son wasn't even up yet because he was sleeping in, which he rarely gets to do. And I'm out there. I burn them. And I burn the weeds to the point of, like, I'll stay over it until not only does the weeds, leaves burn, but it just shrivels up like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, and, I know.
I stand over until I see those striped shoes that curled up under the house. Yeah. And then, not only that, I take the power washer. I burned and drowned my weeds yesterday. And I did it for 4 hours. And right now, I would defy. You could go out and put a meal on one of those pavers and eat that meal off of the paver, and it would be absolutely yummy.
My hamburger tastes like propane.
Hold on, Rob. You were talking over Josh. What did you say, Josh?
Oh, I was just saying you should cook it first with the blowtorch.
Yes, you could do that too. You could fry the egg. Also, if you count the fact that about a week ago I hit it with the poison, I have now poisoned, burned, and drowned the weeds. And we shall see what happens.
A question.
Yes.
You don't even need gasoline for this. You could use actual lighter fluid, like fuel for a Zippo lighter. Could you just spray a line of fuel on that seam and light it?
No,
and let it burn that way?
No, I think that would be far too time consuming, and you're also using lighter fluid to burn areas that don't require burning.
Well, you're burning it anyway. Now you're just burning it with propane.
I am flame throwing these weeds. I'm doing it on a spot to spot basis, and it works.
As
and by the way, when you burn the weeds, probably the quickest process. If I didn't do the power washing, is a lengthy process, because not only did I blow out the weeds with the power washer, I individually scrub-a-dub-dubbed each tile out there. I mean, I really took my time. I even have a little area that has not been quite finished yet. That's how long it took me, and I am telling you, it is Bristol out there right
Love
now.
It.
Very
Love
proud
it.
Of myself, and it's
how
one
long
of the...
How long do you suppose that Bristolity will last?
About a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They pop up. They really do.
I'm wondering if the power washing dilutes the poison and in fact just ends up watering the weeds.
I think the power washing definitely irrigates whatever growth is under there. I think that's 100% true. But I can't do...
You're a complicated man.
Well, I can't do the power washing and the burning. You got to do the burning first. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens. But yeah. Ultimately, it is my number one handyman task that I do successfully outside of the holes in the screen. That's what it is.
Yeah. And that's a live and learn moment. I mean, you're not going to do that again.
Yeah, you know, Scoob, I wish everybody was like you and knew everything. You watered the weeds, so they come back. I know they come right back, but what am I to do? I have to power wash my deck.
The torch again.
Yes, sirree. And I will take the torch. Yes.
How about, what are the seams like in between your pavers? How wide? Would you say like an
about
eighth of an inch?
About 6 inches. No, I'm sorry.
That's why everyone is falling down all the time.
Of course, there's a company down here. There's a company down here that says they'll level out your pavers and seal. We had them sealed. Didn't do dickily. No. You know, it didn't.
What about salt?
I like it on my eggs.
No, but if you were to run like just salt along the seams of your pavers, that would seep down into the ground, making it infertile. And not hospitable to growth of any sort.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Go inside for your margaritas.
That's right. Exactly.
We'll see. I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted. I will let you know when the first weed pops up, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly
what
I'll do.
That's when it's Christmas time.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Everybody goes over to the weed and kisses above the weed. This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show, powered by Incogni. Yeah. It's your personal data's bodyguard. Here's the deal. Data brokers scoop up your info, names, addresses, even social security numbers. And they sell it to whoever's paying. Scammers, spammers, Jack.
I don't give a dammers.
Yeah. Creepy marketers, you name it, boy. That's why your phone won't stop ringing.
Jack.
Your inbox is a mess, and identity theft is always lurking. Lurking, Smithers. Oh, man. Data. Where's my data? Your data's in the hands of people you shouldn't have your data in the hands of. Does that make sense? Did I say that correctly?
Exactly.
Listen, Incogni's going to fight back for you. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers, keep monitoring it, and push back when brokers resist. You stay off their lists, period. With 4 flexible plans, their protection always fits you and your family, and you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Bottom line?
Yeah.
If your data's out there, you need Incogni. Use code TMOS at incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's INCOGNI.com/TMOS. I want it. Yes.
A riddle. Who has 2 thumbs and doesn't get spam calls anymore?
You do.
This guy.
Way to go.
Nothing over the weekend. Not a single bad call over the weekend. Loved it.
But it won't prevent neighbors from annoying you. I mean, there's nothing Incogni can do with that. It will not prevent Josh from being frustrated due to his lack of joy at celebrating certain holidays.
And what I have, my problem is there's one neighbor in our little HOA community, and they got a house that everyone has to drive past their house to come into the neighborhood.
Okay.
So they have these skeletons, and they put these skeletons out. And here's a picture, but here's
life
the problem.
Size.
This is a picture from Friday.
Is that
they
supposed
change
to be
it every single day?
Oh
to
no!
Different skeleton setups.
That's Scooby Doo.
Yeah, that was a Scooby Doo setup. That was great.
That's 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. So, see, in small spurts, joyful. Every single day is a new creation.
Is that your neighborhood? Is that at the front of your neighborhood?
Yeah, this is their
house.
That's
a nice house. You live in a nice area. That's cool. Yeah. I like that up there in St. Augustine.
But you know what? It's 25 days till Halloween. This is too early.
No, it's not.
Yes,
no,
it is.
It's fun. What's that? What was that? What was the numbers? What was that supposed to be?
This is an ugly sweater contest where you're supposed to go online and vote on which skeleton has the best ugly sweater.
Oh, man, this is great.
No, it's not. Because they make not just Halloween, but the entire month about them. where it is them posting these pictures online on the community Facebook group. Everyone praising them. This is the Great British Bake Off. Every day is a theme.
The amount Every of day, effort.
It's way too much effort. They go through it all, but they make it all about themselves. They get people to donate money towards their skeletons. Every day is about how amazing this couple is that does this.
Josh, have you considered that perhaps they are simply celebrating a holiday and bringing others joy? And do you have other? Yes, go ahead.
I think last year I celebrated a little bit because they made this long, sappy post on Facebook about how they are sick and this year they will not be able to do it. And I was excited.
What do you mean they are sick? What does that mean?
The owners.
I don't know. I mean,
they were all the whole family. Is this a family with children?
I don't think they have kids.
Not have you met them at all?
That. But I think I don't know them. They're further up the community. But their little post last year about we can't do it this year got hundreds of comments praising them to the point of other people taking skeletons over every day and setting them up in their yard. And still donate money to this
Rob,
family.
He's in the right business, isn't he?
He
isn't he in the right business?
100%,
the hateful Josh Scirocco, isn't it?
If this was their setup,
I love it. Or even this by the
one,
way.
And if this one stayed up there year round,
for
the Halloween season, I'd be fine with this. The fact that they do it every single day is what irritates me.
Are they going to do a different setup?
This guy went up early. This guy went up in September to say, well, you'd be back in 6-7 days.
Oh, 6-7. That's a new piece of
six,
slang.
Now hear me out, haters. Hear me out here. Don't you think it just adds a little fun to the holiday? It's not hurting anybody.
Yeah,
and by the way,
Josh,
when you're...
Oh, don't worry. The school bus slows down so all the kids can see it on the way down.
He's right, though. It's self-centered. Now, we have a family that you've probably seen.
Well, of course it's all about them. It's on their front yard.
Yeah,
they've also taken it to social media and made the HOA Facebook page also now all about them for a month. And there's only 12 months a year, and 1 month a year, every year, is dedicated to this family.
I'm sure you've seen this family. They do their house with literally millions of lights, and they have a
music
program.
That's every state in the union that has a
One in our family or in our neighborhood that does it, they take donations for charity. And that's what this is, too. Oh, charity.
Yeah, but I've also heard that money goes directly to them also. Because, it's expensive to buy sweaters for 9 skeletons.
Well, they had to build a flipping mystery machine.
I don't know. I think that... Here, can I just give a counterpoint here? And this is probably why.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's a counterpoint. Everyone loves it but me.
I hate it, too.
Rob knows this story. When my daughters were really young and I would take them in my neighborhood, I lived in one of those semi-suburban neighborhoods where there was open space and everybody had a lot of land out there. We had big-ass yards, and the houses were far apart. But it was still a neighborhood that you would drive into, and I'll never forget, and nobody did dick. And I've been in a million neighborhoods where not enough people do anything. There's a neighborhood next door over here in San Carlos Park where they make it an event, and the neighbors get together, and there's joy, and there's happiness. But the fact is that this neighborhood was probably the worst experience ever because nobody did anything. They thought because they lived in these houses on all this land, they didn't have to. And I'll never forget taking my daughters by the hand, driving around the neighborhood, because you had to do that to because the spaces were so large, and driving into to the edge of the driveway and noticing my neighbor, this wizened old hag, that was hiding behind her shrub. And I said something like, I see you.
Oh my God,
Karen. Happy Halloween. They're just little kids that want some candy. Yeah.
I would accept Josh's neighbors if it was the house of Ed Gein and they were real skeletons.
I think maybe
if all these things were all cute and then you turn out that one day we find out these are real skeleton bones.
Skeletons of children.
Of children that they've murdered.
Has anybody been to the Spirit Store yet? Do they have the Ed Gein mask, like with the body mask on there?
I'm sure they do.
I don't know. We've got to start planning our Halloween cocktail hour.
Yeah, I call Ed Gein.
Okay, you may be Ed Gein.
Yeah, there you go. How morbid is that? I'm excited.
I get to be Toni Collette.
No, you get to be Anthony Perkins.
Oh, good. Thank you. I have to start growing my hair.
Or Anthony Perkins' friend in the movie.
Oh, that was Tab Hunter, allegedly.
Well, if Tab Hunter was African-American.
Oh,
you know,
no,
the scene I'm talking about when they're watching the movie?
You're further along than me. I'm talking about the roommate in episode two.
People that have watched it will laugh at that, and you're going to have to wait. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay,
it is time. Oh, I didn't play my... there it is.
Thank you.
Isn't that nice? Hey, I got my recipes in. I am done with all of my wonderful recipes for the TMOS Family Cookbook, ladies and gentlemen. Josh, was I first getting my recipes in?
You are the first with all of your recipes.
Yes. So that means, Mike, I am last.
No, that does not
no,
mean
Carla
that
Carla hasn't
last.
Gotten hers in yet.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't collected all mine yet.
Okay, good. I feel really, really good.
But Mike, winning!
Winning! The most magical holiday treat is coming. It's at the top of the Billboard Hot 100. Siskel and Ebert give it 2 thumbs up. 5 stars on Yelp. Everyone wants the TMOS Family Cookbook.
Or so.
Or so.
Yeah. Here they are using the recipes.
That's it.
Here's your chance to get yours. Are you hungry for food you can eat? Hungry for fun? The Mike O'Mara Show Family Cookbook is your ticket to edible excellence with amazing recipes only available from us, Mama O'Mara's Brownies. Let me tell you about these
brownies.
Worth
it alone. Those are worth it right there.
If I did not monitor these brownies, I made the mistake of taking them into the community lounge at the McDowell Terrace at American University,
right,
and I never got to eat one myself because they were eviscerated. Mm-hmm. That's how popular. And then after that, people would periodically ask me, is your mom going to send any brownies? Those brownies. They're fantastic. Yeah,
but that's because of the pot.
Now, we no longer provide you with Rob's Fruitcake, but you can get the recipe if you get the TMOS Family Cookbook. And if you do it in your own kitchen, it's an easy afternoon of fun.
Yeah, nothing to it.
Listen, the wings of buffalo, prepared by and endorsed by James Tiberius Cerrito. Mm-hmm. That's right, his wings. And dozens more. All the best, all for you. The cookbook will be in your hands before the holidays. Carla's blue cheese recipe for the blue cheese dressing is spectacular.
Ooh,
and you can pre-order now at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Don't wait until we're showing it to you. Get it now.
Do it new, right now.
Be a part of TMOS history. Feed the show, feed the fans, feed the family. The TMOS Family Cookbook. Order now before the table's full. And 2 is better than 1, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Funny.
Jerry
Oh,
time.
Mike, memories.
The morning zoo.
Yeah.
Hi,
everybody.
What would you do if you could combine 2 of your favorite things and make a day of it? Wouldn't that be great?
So you're saying a slot machine... with my wife sitting in my lap and my son hitting a home run on the baseball field.
I think Josh was closer. What if they just put a slot machine at every ball washer?
Oh, that's right, golf. Yeah. Hey, but how about that? I just spontaneously mentioned 3 things and, you know, golf wasn't part of it.
But very wholesome what you did say.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mike, the Taco Bell 50K. Have you heard of this?
It's some sort of race.
It's a 31-mile extreme race where you have to stop at 10 Taco Bells during the race.
How many miles?
It is
31.
31 miles.
Ooh, a marathon.
Yeah, and 50 kilometers is the same. And you have to stop at 10 Taco Bells and order something to eat at every Taco Bell that you see. This lady seems very into it. Okay.
We're at the Taco Bell 50K. We're going to eat 9 meals of Taco Bell while we run 31 miles, starting with this taco at 7 a.m. Cheers. I'm scared. And we're going. Fall down. Only 30 to go. We're at the second
She's
Taco
cute.
Bell. Let's come
she
out
is.
We're eating cinnamon twists. Well, number 3. Corn. This one we have to use from Drops of Cream. So. Mile 10.
Cartwheel.
Let's go. Number 5. 5 cheesy roll up.
See, she doesn't order the real Taco Bell stuff.
No, she gets smart.
That's smart because I would. Yeah. Do you have to eat it all?
Number 7, yes. Back to the cinnamon twist. Number 8, cheesy roll up that has been
slowing down a bit, I think.
5 miles. Just as bad as you think it would be.
I got a better idea.
Nice Taco Bell.
All right, I get it. Thank you.
Now, the winner of this.
I think you do a 31 mile marathon. And you have to do the best time wins, making people try to go as fast as they can.
Right.
But you stop at Taco Bell every mile.
Mike, and the winner gets a date with Ed Gein.
Right. And nothing sweet, only savory.
And,
and everything has to have ground beef. There you go.
That's the winner.
And salsa.
Okay, Lowe's, you're not fooling me. All right, okay. Lowe's, I know you know you're the same thing as Home Depot. You guys,
no, blasphemy!
That's not true. Lowe's
really?
Is much nicer.
Okay,
Home Depot is for your contractor. Lowe's is for your decorator.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
Lowe's is spectacular compared to Home Depot.
Either way, I'm not buying this. They're trying to market their tiny buckets as things you can eat out of. So they're serving coffee in a mini Lowe's bucket.
I don't hate it.
I do.
Are they giving them away for free?
No, they're charging almost $2 each.
Then I'm with you. Then I'm with you 100%. But I do like me the Lowe's. That's where I go for stuff I need.
We have them. They're equidistant from my house. I guess I do prefer Lowe's, but I mean, I think there's more similarities than differences, aren't there?
Neither one, Home Depot or Lowe's, is as satisfying as Ace Hardware.
I agree.
It's the bottom of the tier.
It is the place for the helpful hardware man.
And that's the problem. It is the place for someone that doesn't know what they're doing.
No,
and
it,
someone
you
that
are
doesn't
wrong.
Know what they want and it what is, they need.
Let me tell you about Ace, Josh Soroka. Ace is absolute, without any hassle. You're not walking into an airline hangar to get what you need. You can get in, get out, and for a little hardware.
And how many people do you have to say, I don't need help to?
What's wrong with a little assistance? How often when you're doing a household project? Oh, see, he's the handy guy. I'm not. Yeah. I'm the one that says, how do you paint a front door?
Ace, Ace Hardware is the place where, legendary story, my best friend Brad went in and watched an old man walk aimlessly for about 5 minutes, and he stood at the confluence of two aisles with no one around him in particular and just said, shelf bracket.
That's kind of what I'm doing when I go into an Ace Hardware store. I get it.
I want to show you this. Her name is Kim. She drums, and she drums TV themes. I liked this because it's the closing theme to WKRP in Cincinnati, and we've discussed this in the past. It has no real lyrics. It's just a guy making up syllables that sound like he's singing, but it's fun to watch this lady drum it.
Cool cymbals.
Yeah. And she's good.
Cool red drum heads, too.
Yeah. The ending here. I like watching her drum. I think she's
great. I don't
have
like real drums, so I don't want to do it, but I'd love to do a drum video. But I feel like I'm cheating with electronic drums.
I don't know. You looked pretty good when you were playing them the other day.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, with a standard beat like that, I would get away with it.
Yeah.
But I'll figure out how to do it. I'll do those.
We'll stay with this for a moment. This was my favorite thing I saw over the weekend. This was trending on TikTok. It's called Helpful Elvis.
Okay.
And it's AI, if Elvis was your neighbor. Elvis Presley was your neighbor. He was alive, and he was helpful in the neighborhood.
This old fella's still got some kick in him, ma'am. Cuts cleaner than a barber's razor.
You make it look easy, Mr. Presley. I haven't seen lines that straight in years.
Well, fair lawn deserves fair care. I'm happy to help.
See this little fella here? He looks like nothing much, but inside he's
AI, got a protein
plant. Yes, of course.
It's so tiny.
That's right. We drop him in the hole nice and gentle, just like that, then tuck him in with soil.
And give it.
Take it easy now, ma'am. I've got you.
You're a gentleman, young man. I don't move as quick as I used to.
No rush at all. We're on Memphis time, honey. Slow and smooth.
I appreciate
My pleasure. There we go. Safe and sound.
You had to go out of your mind when you saw this. This is so funny.
Smooth as honey.
Like this?
You got it, darling. Now you, sir.
That's teaching them to dance.
Yeah. Feel that groove?
I'm a little stiff here, but she's coming loose. Just got to give her a touch more. There we go. Solid as a hound dog on a porch.
You make it look easy.
Nothing to it, ma'am. Give it a swing.
Smooth as can be.
First thing, don't rush him. Let the horse know you. Give him a pat, let him smell the rein. See that? Nice and easy. Stirrup goes under the ball of your foot, hand on the horn, swing your leg over, smooth as a song. Sit tall, soften your hands, a little squeeze, and he'll step out for you.
He's cleaning
like a pool.
Clean pool
on a sunny day, baby. Skim a little.
I love this.
And the water shines right back at you.
I love this. That's the way. Oh, my God. A little phony there with that smile.
You're quicker than I ever was, son.
Well, I had some practice back home. Can't let them choke out the flowers.
We sure appreciate you helping, Mr. Presley.
The stubby bolt right here was loose.
Now working on a car.
Breathe easy again.
I don't know what we do without you next.
Save him. I want him all week. That's awesome. Elvis, you can pop Elvis on anytime you want. That's awesome.
It's helpful, Elvis, and whoever does them.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Doing them. They are a riot.
Yes. It's just like when we all had the, you know, when we started with the internet. That's the internet being used for good,
exactly.
As far as I'm
Thank
concerned.
Thank you.
AI for good. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. The boys will be here, I believe, right?
Yeah, we will.
Yes. I from the Outer Banks and from Leesburg, Virginia, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Have a good day.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
And remember, we're not happy until you're not happy.
If it'll help the show, I can get even fatter.
You can't keep getting away with this! You can't keep getting away with it!
He won't.